This show is brought to you by MTN. For your everyday moves, try this new MTN app. MTN, SA's best network.
I am Nkosinathi Ndlovu, and this is Tech Central Show brought to you by MTN Business. Visit www.mtnbusiness.co.za to view their products and services, and we thank them for partnering with the show to bring you these great interviews. The invention of the silicon-based transistor is fundamental to the success of the digital age, driving the core of the modern-day digital economy. The rise of generative AI has put hardware at the epicenter of the next wave of economic growth, with chip makers such as NVIDIA and AMD reaching record valuations as demand for advanced chips far outstrips supply. But as data centers expand, so too does the consumption of resources, with their demand for water and electricity rising exponentially. Final Spark is a Swiss biocomputing company exploring more efficient ways to compute and has turned to living neurons as a solution. My guest joining me virtually from Vevey, Switzerland, is Dr. Fred Jordan. He is the co-founder and co-CEO of Final Spark. Hello, Fred, and welcome to the show.
Hello, and thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Fred, this is a very interesting concept because you are saying, listen, we are not going to be using the traditional silicon to perform computation. We want to use a different substrate. Can you tell us about the inspiration behind this and why you founded Final Spark?
Well, okay. Let me answer with a very candid one. All right. Inspiration was science fiction. Okay, so because I'm a big fan of science fiction. So, okay, so this is the candid answer, right? So now the rational, you know, I would say sometimes dreams are first, okay? But let's put the rational just behind the dreams, okay? And the rational is that, as you said, actually the power consumption, when you compare artificial neurons, which are simulated in AI, and biological neurons, which are running right now in our brains, yes. It's about 1 million times of difference, okay? Well, of ratio, okay? Yeah. 1 million times, okay? And we live in a world when we are happy when we make 10% gain of efficiency, all right? So this is a very, you know, very interesting advantage if we can go that route, no?
Mm-hmm. And I understand that you were trained as a signal processing engineer. Are there parallels between that work that you did with, what will I say, hardware, with what you're doing now with biological material?
I mean, this is a very interesting question. Okay, I tell you, I have a PhD in signal processing, which is basically applied mathematics. Okay, and you ask me if there is some parallel between basically what we find in your biology and what I found in signal processing. So everything which is around the neurons that we are using, yes, absolutely yes. Why? Because we are using electricity again, because we need some electrodes, and from the electrodes we capture electricity, and then we can process it again. So I'm back again. in my field. So, but actually the processing unit this time, as you said, is not silicon based. Okay. These are living neurons. And this part of the processing is not only obscure to me because I'm not a neurobiologist, you know, by my training, but it's actually obscure for everyone. At the end of the day. So we have a sort of black box here, okay, which may not be a problem as long as it works. And as you can see, it works. We are discussing.
Yes. And as you said, you describe it working as having that efficiency that biological material has as compared to the silicon. But in choosing which substrate to use, you could have gone with the neurons of a pig, the neurons of a cat or an octopus. By what metric did you decide that human neurons are the ones to go for?
Okay, just one thing. By working, I mean our nervous systems are able to process information. Okay. It's not only the fact of being efficient. That's not enough. If you take a stone, it's very energy efficient, but it's not able to process information. Now, but your question is point on. And when you create a startup, you always have to think about what you have in mind, which is here, a bioprocessor. Okay. But also what you don't have in mind yet. And imagine that today, that tomorrow, just by chance, because luck happens in a fundamental research, we find incredible advance that can be useful for medical applications. So if that happens, it may probably be more interested if we find some solutions using human neurons than octopus neurons. I have nothing against octopus. Please take note.
We love them. So,
startup mode, you have always to be open and think maybe other things I didn't think about. And by chance, sometimes discoveries happen.
Okay. So you use human neurons. Could you tell me a little bit about how they are harvested and grown?
So harvested is a particularly strong word. Okay. So the thing is that the full process. Okay. The full process is you take, for instance, skin cells. Okay. Human skin cells. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very few of them. Okay. You transform them in stem cells. Mm-hmm. A stem cell can become every cell you want in your body. Okay?
Yes.
So you can make a nose, hair, whatever. Okay? Neuron. Mm. Okay. Cell. All right. Perfect. Yes. So from the stem cell, in our case, we do neurons. Mm-hmm. And then we connect neurons. That's not completed. We connect neurons and we build an organoid. That means a collection of thousands of neurons, which creates a small ball. This is how we do.
Okay. All right. And once you've created this organelle, how do you keep it alive? Surely it must remain in stasis somehow. Does it need to eat? What are the mechanics there?
Yes, absolutely. You're right. It needs to eat, but it needs a lot of things, actually, which are already wired in our brain and that we have to recreate artificially around it. Okay. And for instance, we have so-called microfluidic, which is basically you're bringing food, okay, with water. Okay. So this is why people call this sometimes wetware, as opposed to software and hardware, because it's always a wet environment.
Yes.
And but that's not only. We need also to control the temperature, the acidity of the medium, the humidity, the concentration of CO2, and many things have to go right in order that we keep them alive.
Mm-hmm. And talking about keeping them alive, how long, what's the shelf life of a living neuron that you use for computing?
So there are two answers to this, okay? Mm-hmm. The shelf life, if we don't touch them, basically, okay, that means we can keep them for years, okay, living in basically special medium. This is medium, it's a collection of water and many other things, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Put this in incubators, they can live for years, okay. We just have to change the water every week, okay.
Yes.
Now, like this, it's perfectly useless because you don't interact with them, so you're not using them. Okay, the problem starts to happen when you start using them. Actually, right? Mm-hmm. And if you start using them, that means you have to connect with electrodes, so you create some stress, some possibilities of contamination, a number of things, and then we are going. Our record so far is 7 months.
Okay, all right. And in the 7 months, what are you getting these neurons to do computationally?
Very basic things, okay? So we are happy when we change their behavior, okay? Like we say, okay, this one is spiking, for instance. Spiking, that means a neuron has some spontaneous activity. Yes. Even your brain, if you think you do nothing, you do something. Okay, your neurons are always. If your neurons stop all activities,
yes,
that means you're dead. Okay.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
So normally you should have some activity, conscious or not. All right. So we have always this activity, and some things that we do is that we are able to change how much they are active spontaneously. Okay. So this is one of the things. We can also store one basic information like a bit, if you want, into this. So, so that's really the beginning, like in the 60s when they were playing with transistors to make the first Boolean gates.
Okay, so it's early days, but if we were to kind of take a glimpse into the future, yes, you said you can store bits, suggesting that the fundamental, what can I say it, the fundamental computational parameter is the same as you'd see in silicon, for example. Does that mean that when you move up the stack, the programs that are written for living neurons are going to be the same as those written for silicon, or will that have to change?
Yes. It's going to be somehow different and somehow the same. So I tell you, it's going to be different in the sense that we are not going to encode numbers with binary codes. We are not going to do this. That would be totally stupid. Okay. Very stupid and inefficient. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we are going to use neurons for processing. And when you use network of neurons for processing, this is exactly what AI is doing. AI simulates neurons connected to each other for processing information. So this we can re-implement directly. So that's not a low-level replication of visual codes, but it's high-level, the same thing as we are doing with AI, more or less the same principle, yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. So it's not going to have a change on the fundamental way we compute.
No, it's going to... We are not, you know, there are two levels, okay? You have the binary level, how processors work, microprocessors work at the binary level, okay? We are not going to replicate this. But the higher level, when we do AI, we simulate neurons, and we are going to be at this higher level quite similar.
Okay. And then, so how are you then funding all the research that you're doing?
Well, we are two founders and we use our own money. So I tell you because we need to have a bunch of money. So I have to explain. The thing is that we made a first company, our PhD, co-founder of Finalspark and myself. So Martin Kutter and myself, we made a first company called Alp Vision. This is a company that is active in anti-counterfeit systems. That means app for detecting fake. You buy some shoes, you want to know if it's the real brand, you use our app, it will tell you if it's a fake or a genuine shoe from the brand. Okay. And we make money with this. Okay. And part of this profit, we inject it into Finalspark.
Oh, okay. I see. Oh, so you self-fund the business completely.
Exactly.
But now, you did mention that it's early days and the experiments that you're performing are at a very fundamental level. If we take a glimpse into the future, what does wet computing look like, let's say, in 5, 10, maybe 20 years, depending on how long it takes to develop?
Wet computing, in 10 to 15 years, I think we are going to see some computing farms.
Okay.
But computing farms, that will be a new kind of farms, that will be biofarms, so which normally actually a farm is. And instead of having NVIDIA cards, as you mentioned, you will have nervous tissues on hundreds of meters and this thick. Okay. And they will have hundreds and hundreds of billions of neurons connected to billions of electrodes, and they will be used exactly as NVIDIA is using their graphic cards today for computation. They will be used to do AI.
Interesting. And can you tell me more broadly, I mean, you are doing this in one way. What does the industry look like? Are there any other research happening in the space that's perhaps different to yours?
Yes, there is some research, increasing research, constantly increasing. I think we are one of the hub of this research. because we give free access to some universities to perform research in an open innovation approach. Okay, so universities can connect to our neurons and make some experiments. Okay, so right now we have 9 universities working with us, and but there are many more that would like to work with us. We cannot accept everyone. We have also private companies that work remotely on our neurons. We have also competitors, not a lot, maybe 2-3. But this is a new industry coming.
Okay. All right. I don't know. That's as much as I have in terms of questions. Are there important points about this developing industry that you think are important to mention?
Well, I think this is a new industry that needs money. All right. And so far we've been funding this by ourselves, and we will keep on injecting our own money. But we believe that we should multiply our effort by 10 to 100, to go way faster. Okay. That means we are trying to reach money, to raise money, say 10 to 50 million, I would say dollars or Swiss francs. And I think one of the big steps will be where we'll get this kind of funding, because this is going to speed up radically our results.
Okay. All right. I think something else that maybe I forgot to touch on was, so what are the kind of ethical implications that you deal with when you are working with living tissue?
At this stage, I would say not a lot, because we are using neurons, like collection of neurons, about 10,000, okay, which is not a lot. Okay. However, if you think about billions of neurons, then questions may be asked. And what we did is that we started to connect with some academics in the field of ethics and philosophy so that they start thinking about it, because there are some people who work all their life in this kind of ethics and things. And I'm not expert into this, but I can help them on the science side. And I hope they'll come out with some publications on this topic soon.
Okay. So it's an area of exploration that different people in different fields need to apply their mind to.
Yeah, but we're happy to help them. Yeah. And we have actually, I think it's interesting to know that we have also a Discord server when people can connect and ask any question they want about this topic. We'd be happy to answer. And it's better to ask there than to write to me or to the other members, because the advantage that people can share the answers. So that's the cool thing.
Okay, great. I think we'll get a link to that server and include it as one of the links in the podcast. Otherwise, Fred, thank you so much for your time and for telling us about a very interesting business called Final Spark. Last question: how did you come up with the name?
Well, it was just a name that was easy to pronounce. Okay. And and we have the .com that was free. Okay.
Sometimes you just have to be practical with these things.
this started like more than 10 years ago. All right. So at the beginning, it was close to a joke. Actually, this whole story where two of us say, okay, let's do a revolution in AI. Okay. So Google is spending billion and Nvidia billion. Two of us. Let's make a revolution. Sounds cool. So at this level of seriousness, you don't think too much about the name. We didn't think that it would go that far.
Okay, but you seem to have made some very good strides, and we certainly wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. That is Fred Jordan. He is the co-founder and co-CEO of Final Spark, and this is Tech Central Show.